All right, we are in the book of Daniel today again. Daniel chapter number 4. Daniel chapter number 4. I appreciate you getting to be here for this Sunday school lesson. Daniel chapter 4. This is lesson 5 in a series of lessons entitled Our God Reigns. It's from the book of Daniel. This is Sunday, November the 6th, 2022. If anybody's asking, wondering what day it is, all right? Today we have a lesson. It's entitled, The Message from the Mad Monarch. Good to see you this morning. Appreciate you getting to be here. The Message from the Mad Monarch. Now this mad, he's not necessarily angry at anybody, but he's crazy. You'll find out here in a minute. Our theme verse for this lesson is found in the very last verse of this chapter, Daniel chapter 4, verse 37. And it said this. This is Nebuchadnezzar talking now, okay? He says, Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Boy, what a testimony this chapter 4 is. I want to give you this thought today. This thought would sum up the whole lesson. And it's simply this. To God be the glory. Amen. Great things he hath done. In this lesson today, God, I want you to understand, God hates and he despises pride. Pride. Old proud hearts. He hates old sinful pride. And from the book of Genesis, from the very first book in the Bible all the way down to the book of Revelation, you'll find out how that pride has been the devil's great instrument of destruction. Throughout the centuries, the devil uses prides to deceive people, to cause them to turn against God, to cause them to turn against the things of the Lord, against the ways of God. And you know, pride was that very instrument that caused Lucifer to attempt, in the book of Isaiah, in the book of Ezekiel, you can read about it, how he wanted to, his desire was to exalt his throne above the throne of God. To make his kingdom in the sides of the north and be like the Most High God. And God said, no, that's not going to happen. And it was cast out of heaven. And today that same sort of wicked pride reveals the destructive intent of Satan in our lives, in the lives of men, women, boys and girls. Pride is a very destructive device that the devil uses. After giving the Ten Commandments to the children of Israel, God had Moses speak to the people. And God said to them, I want you to, if you get a chance here, look at this in Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter number 26. This is the Old Testament scriptures. The Bible said, beginning in verse number 3, God told the people, he said, if ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall increase, yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. I will give you peace in the land. Ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100. And 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. And you shall eat old store and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you and be your God, and ye shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, and ye that ye should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. But, now listen to what he said. But if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul shall abhor my judgment, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies, that they that hate you shall reign over you. And ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. And I will break the pride. Listen to what he said now. I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase. Neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. And if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And if you will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then I also will walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet 7 times for your sin. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the land, into the hand of the enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and ye shall eat and not be satisfied. And if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then will I walk contrary unto you also in fury. And I, now this is God speaking, I will chasten you 7 times for your sin. And ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat. And I will destroy your high places and cut down your images and cast your carcasses among the carcasses of your idols. And my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste and will bring your sanctuaries unto desolation. I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest upon it, and upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness in their hearts in the land of their enemies. And the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword. And when they shall fall, they shall fall when none pursueth, and they shall fall one upon another, as it were before a sword when none pursueth. And ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies. And ye shall perish among the heathen. And the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands. And also in the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. You know what, folks? I believe God was serious about pride and about the high price that rebellion brings against him. Don't you? I believe he was serious about this. This is where Israel was at when they were taken into captivity by Babylon. When Nebuchadnezzar came in and defeated them and took their children and took them and put them into slaves and led them away with hooks in their noses. They led them away, took the land away, took all that God had blessed them with. And it was all because of pride and rebellion against God. And you know what? So it was in the life of this king of Babylon. It was found in the book of Daniel. As we look at this chapter today, chapter number 4, on two occasions we find where God had spoken to this king in a dream. He spoke to him in a dream. And he tried to show him of things to come, but he would not listen. And he would not take heed. Now he did for a little while, but he did not continue to do that which God had called him to do. And here in this introduction of the lesson, I want to just give you an introduction here of it. We could very easily give the title of this lesson as being a lesson that I have learned from God. That's what Nebuchadnezzar could have said. I've learned this lesson from God. When Nebuchadnezzar took Israel and took all the children of Israel into captivity, he became a great and mighty king. There are no places in the world like the cities of Babylon were. That was one of the seven wonders of the world, the gardens of Babylon and all the hanging gardens and all that they had accomplished. It was a great and mighty kingdom. But you know what? Psalm 115, verse 1 said this: Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Nebuchadnezzar got to the point that he thought he was bigger than God. All the things that he had, God had allowed him to have. But pride filled his heart. The book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verse 8 says this: God said, I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Nebuchadnezzar and the land of Babylon worshipped all sorts of graven images, all sorts of pagan idols. They worshipped them. They adored them. They sought their power and wisdom from these idols that had eyes that could not see and ears that could not hear and lips that could not speak, noses that could not smell and hands that could not reach out and help. Nebuchadnezzar thought, wow, you know what? I'm the king. Now you remember back in chapter 2 when he had that dream, he was going to put all the magicians and astrologers and soothsayers and the Chaldeans, he's going to put all of them to death because they could not tell him his dream, nor could they interpret the dream, what he had. He couldn't remember it anymore. But God brought Daniel in. And Daniel told the king this very fact. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 37 and 38, he said, Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given you a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into their thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. Remember the great big image that he saw? The head of gold, the breast and arms of brass, and it goes all the way down, the metal and the clay and all the other things. Listen, this king didn't like the fact that Daniel told him, one day your kingdom's going to end. It's going to be taken over. And last week we saw how he built an idol, an image, 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide, and he wanted everybody to worship it. Remember the lesson last week? And again, God showed him that he is not God. But the Bible said here that this king got it in his heart that he was bigger than God. Now I want you to look at chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 this morning. This is a decree that this king wrote to all the people in his kingdom. Now his kingdom spread. I mean, it was just unbelievable how big his kingdom was. But he wrote these words. He said, Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. When I read these first three verses, I can see that God finally got a hold of his heart and made him to understand that the God of Daniel, the God of Shadrach, the God of Meshach, the God of Abednego, listen, that's the true God. And he's writing to all the kingdoms in all the earth, the then known earth. He's writing to them to tell them about the wonders that this great God had done unto him. But the testimony that he gives, he tells everything. And I want you to look at this today. I want you to see the reception of the dream that he had. He got yet another dream. And listen to what it said. He said in verse 4 and 5, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. And I saw a dream which made me afraid. And the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Now, as Nebuchadnezzar is writing this letter to all these people, he's thinking back to the day when all this began. And he's resting in his house. He's flourishing in his palace. He's at ease in Zion, so to speak. A lot of so-called Christians today, just sitting in church, just resting on their laurels and not doing anything for God, and then just enjoying all the blessings that God has given them. And they've forgotten about the blesser because they've been so infatuated with the blessings. They've forgotten about God. And this king had gotten to that point. He was lying on his bed. He was flourishing. He was at rest. He was enjoying all that he had. But then he fell asleep and he had a bad dream. And the dream troubled him. And I want you to look what he said here about this dream in verses 6 and 7. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. You know what? Many years have gone by since Daniel first revealed the dream and gave the interpretation for that dream to this king. And none of his soothsayers, his Chaldean idol worshipers, none of these people, magicians, astrologers, none of them could tell him anything about it. They were all going to die at the hand of the king because he was just ready to just kill them all. But Daniel comes in and reveals unto them what God was trying to reveal to this king. And at that time, Nebuchadnezzar said, man, there is no God like the God of Daniel. There is no God in all the world like this God. And for a while, he followed after that God of Daniel. But you know what he did? When things got going good, he got away from the God of Daniel. He got away from the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He got away from that God because, you know what? He had bad influences around him. He had these astrologers and magicians and Chaldeans and soothsayers that hated the ground that Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, that they walked on. They hated them. And they tried to make it seem like, boy, they had all the wisdom from their pagan gods. So the king calls them in. He reveals to them his dream. And you know what? They couldn't reveal what it meant. They had no clue. They probably came up with some ideas, and the king said, no. That, you're nowhere close. I don't believe that's what this dream is all about. So what does he do? Well, he calls in the one man that he knew that could tell him what the dream meant. When all else fails, go back to the man of God. That's what this king did. Boy, you know what? That's what a lot of people are doing in our world today. Folks have gotten out of church. They've quit going to church. They're resting in the blessings of God in their lives. They don't need church anymore. They don't need God anymore. They've got the influence of all their other friends that, you know, that say they're Christians. They don't go to church. They don't read their Bible. They don't give to God. They don't do anything for God. And then when the troubles hit, those friends don't have the answers. And what happens? Hopefully they would go back to the man of God. But sadly, that's not always the way it works. But this king at least had the integrity enough to call in Daniel, whom he had put over all the provinces of Babylon. And he calls him in. He says, Daniel, I've had a dream. And look at verse number 8. The Bible said, but at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar. Now, the king changed Daniel's name because he named Daniel after his gods, not after the true and living God. Look what the Bible said. But as at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my little g, little o, little d, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. And the beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher, and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. This dream I, Nebuchadnezzar have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof. For as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. At the last, this great king comes to the man of God, and he tells him what was in his dream, and it scared him. Boy, this would scare me too. But he knew it was concerning him, but he didn't understand it. So now Daniel reveals, he gives the revelation of God in this dream, and he tells him the true meaning of what God is trying to tell him. Now, what God wanted this old stiff-necked, rebellious king to understand and to know was simply this. He was not in charge of everything, but God himself was in charge. Folks, that's what our leaders today in our world need to understand. God is the revealer of all secrets. And God is the one that's got everything in control. It's not man, but it's God. Now, Daniel knew. He listened to the king. He heard what he said, and fear gripped his heart, because what he had to tell this king was not good news. It was not good at all. And I want you to look at verses 19 through 23 as Daniel identifies the details of this dream. Look what he said. The Bible said, then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. I can imagine Daniel, this man of God. He had tried to get this king to live for God faithfully, but the king refused to do it. And now, because of what he had been doing, God was going to bring judgment upon this king. And Daniel's heart was filled with terror. Probably his eyes were filled with tears. And the king is looking at him and saying, Daniel, tell me, what does it mean? And Daniel's heart is just sunk within his breast. And look what the Bible said. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream nor the interpretation thereof trouble thee. He knew that what God was trying to tell him had troubled Daniel. He knew that Daniel's heart was broken for what was about to happen to this man. Daniel cared for this man. And you know what, folks? It makes a difference when a child of God cares for those who are lost in this world and wants them to do what is right. Listen, we don't go out soul winning just to report a number. We go out soul winning and reach the world with the gospel because people are on their way to a devil's hell. And folks, if we don't have a care and a burden in our hearts for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls that are on their way to hell, boy, we're in a heap of trouble today. And Daniel had a burden for this king. And now God revealed to him what this dream was all about. Nebuchadnezzar says, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my Lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and among whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, thou art grown and become strong. For thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw the watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew down the tree and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, which till 7 times pass over him. He said, verse 24, this is the interpretation, O king. And this is the decree of the Most High, which had come upon my lord the king, that they which that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be in the with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou, and he's talking to the king, he said, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Nebuchadnezzar knew, and he understood the fact that the tree that was being described in this dream, it was him. And it was talking about being hewn down, cut down, destroyed. He knew what was going on. But Daniel breaks it all down to him, and he explains how that, number one, this is the decree of the Most High. This is what God says. Thus saith the Lord. And Daniel says, it's going to come upon my Lord, the king. Verse 24. And then he says that this great tree, referring to Nebuchadnezzar, in verses 23 through 25, would indeed be cut down by God. God was going to have him cut down to size. He was going to abase him. He was going to be driven out of his throne. And number three, literally, he would go mad. He would go mad and insane and become as one of the beasts of the field because his mind was so messed up. Kind of reminds me of the book of Romans chapter 1. When they knew God, they exalted him not as God. God turned them over to a reprobate mind to do that which was pleasing in their own eyes and do the wicked things that they did. God was going to do the same thing with this king. And he was going to do it for a space of seven times or 7 years. He was going to be out in the field. He was going to be wet with the dew of heaven. He was going to eat the grass of the field like a beast until he came to understand with all of his heart that the Most High ruleth the kingdom of men, and God gives it to whomsoever he will. You see, man is not in control of things, folks. And that's why you and I, we don't need to be worried about all these things that are coming to pass, because God has told us in his word what's going to come to pass. We know it's going to happen. We know these things are going to get bad. But we got to stay faithful. We got to live for God. Listen, our redemption draweth nigh. But then Daniel, because he loved this king, he gave instruction to the king. He said, God has said all this is going to happen. But, O king, listen to me. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Break off thy sins by righteousness, by righteous acts. Quit sinning. Quit doing the things that are against the word of God. And thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be, by a lengthening of thy tranquility. Daniel said, listen, O king, if you'll turn away from your sin and you'll do what's right, maybe God will give you peace and he'll not bring this upon you. Please turn away from your sin and break off thy sins by doing what is right and what God has told you to do. Well, that's good advice to anybody, is it not? The Bible said that the king needed to know that the book of Proverbs chapter 14 verse 31 said, he that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker. But he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. Proverbs 29:14 said this, the king that faithfully judgeth the poor, his throne shall be established forever. And I'm sure Daniel probably tried to give him scripture from the Old Testament and tried to help this king to understand what was going on. But then the realization of the dream takes place. And whether folks want to admit it or not, God's word is true. God's word is faithful. But we need to understand something today, folks. God's patience will not always be with man. God's mercy is not always going to be upon those folks who continually, knowingly choose to reject and despise and to rebel against the word of God. You can't get away with sin with God. You may try to hide it from everybody around you, but God knows it and God sees it. And for a while here, the Bible said that the king took Daniel's advice. And he tried to do that which was right. And he applied wise instruction to his heart. But only 12 months later, only 1 year later, he turned back to his prideful, sinful ways. And I want you to look here at the claim of Nebuchadnezzar in verse 28. All this came upon the king, Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And the king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" Boy, he's walking out there and he's looking at all the greatness of his kingdom. And he said, "Boy, look what I have done. Look what I have built with my power. Look what I've done with my hands." That old pride. And God said, "Son, that's it. No more mercy." After only 1 year, God had to correct this man and humble him and help him to see that there is no power but that of God. And I want you to look at God's correction. You know, the Lord loveth those whom he chasteneth, does he not? He chastens those that he loves. Why? Because he loves them. He didn't want this king to die and spend eternity separated from him in hell. But look at God's correction. Verse 31, "While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be in the beasts of the field, with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will." And the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Good night. Could you imagine the judgment of God being brought upon this man? What fear it must have placed within the hearts of those soothsayers and those astrologers and magicians to know that what Daniel told the king just a year prior had now come to pass. I wonder if it affected them any at all. The Bible said here that this king, the judgment upon this king's prideful heart, would continue for a total of 7 years. Can you imagine living out in the field? They probably got it all fenced in where he can't get away. And he's out there eating the grass and living like an animal and looking like an animal. But folks, I want you to understand something today. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And this was the whole purpose of the correction that God gave to Nebuchadnezzar. Now look at the confession that he gives in verses 34 through 37. As he closes out this letter that he's writing to all the people, this declaration, he finishes it out in verses 34 through 37 by saying, "And at the end of the days, at the end of that 7-year period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me. And for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me. And I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. You know what? I truly believe that Nebuchadnezzar, even while he may not have been able to express it for those 7 years, he came to realize that God's word was true. And it turned his heart around. It turned his whole attitude around. And it debased him of any pride that he may have had. And just as God had promised, along with the judgment, God also gave blessing and humbleness so that this king would accept the promises of God as truth, as righteousness, as ways of judgment. And now he declares to all his kingdom in verse 37. He said, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. What a great testimony this man ended up with. But you know what? He had to go through an awful lot, didn't he, to get to that point. How stubborn are the hearts of sinful men? Many times you and I get stubborn too, but let me encourage you today. Don't let pride control your life. We need to pray for this election coming up, that pride will not be the central theme of this thing. But we need to make sure that folks know that God is the King of heaven. All his works are truth. All his judgments are right. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. We need to make sure that we remember that God is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but he's wanting all to come to repentance. And folks, I'm telling you here today, don't allow pride and arrogance to reign your life. God may have been very good to you. He's been good to me. But man, when I go out and I see what God has done, I want to give him the glory and him all the praise and him all the honor. Why? Because it's all due unto him. All that you and I have today is because of the great mercies of our great God. Let's never forget that fact. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, I love you today. And Lord, how I want this lesson to help our people to remember, God, that pride is something that you hate, you despise, and it does not bring honor unto your name. And Lord, I pray that today, if there be someone today that's living in that prideful, arrogant attitude, Lord, that you would humble their hearts today and help them to see the same truth that this pagan, once pagan king came to realize in the last days of his kingdom. I pray, God, today that if there be someone listening to the sound of my voice that's never been saved, God, that they would turn away from their prideful rebellion against you. And Lord, they would turn unto you and ask you to come into their heart and save them. See themselves as you see them, sinners on their way to hell. And God, they'd be willing to call upon you and be saved even today. Bless our pastor now, Lord, as he stands to preach the word of God. Help our hearts to be tender and receptive to the preaching of that word. And God will thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Good to see you today. Thank you for coming. We love you.